Hi, I'm Deb McIntyre, and you are listening to the Shamans Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope my podcast gives you some insight into shamanism and its ancient practices and processes. This podcast will cover elements of shamanism that you can incorporate into your everyday life. You will also be listening to other people's experiences via my podcast guests. We will talk about many topics such as primal woman, primal man, the shaman's talking stick, the shaman's roundtable discussion, as well as some more general topics that I might throw in. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, or perhaps you are listening whilst out walking or in the car. And welcome to this week's episode. Welcome to today's Primal Woman podcast. Today we are joined by Jasmine Smith. Jasmine is from Maldi and Polynesian heritage. Jasmine's ancestral beliefs and customs are steeped deeply in her identity as a proud Maldi and Polynesian ancestral warrior woman and shaman. Jasmine's journey has connected her back to the tribal elders and ancestors in her ancestral line. She continues to embrace the rituals, ceremonies, dance, and traditional language of her ancestors. I apologize to Jasmine and our listeners for my mispronunciation of any cultural sensitive words. Welcome, Jasmine.
Hi, Devi. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. I'm really excited to have you on this podcast, sharing the wisdom and knowledge of your ancestors.
Thank you very much for having me.
Could we start by learning a little bit about your ancestry?
Yes, sure. Currently, I'm still in the process of learning about my ancestry in regards to my Māori nationality and also my Pacific nationality as well, because there's quite a few, and this goes across from my grandfather, who's my father's father. He was born in Tonga, but he was raised in the Cook Islands as well. So for a lot of years, I identified as Cook Island Māori, when in fact he was just raised by his Cook Island stepfather. So there's been a lot of exploring and finding out all these different family backgrounds I'm from. And also on my grandfather's side, going back, because I love ancestry DNA, after I find information out from family members, I go back and then trace it back. Our roots trace all the way back to Choctaw Nation in America, and they were part of the Cherokee Native Americans. And on my mother's side, my heritage traces back to Isle of Man, which is Fletcher Christian, and he's well known for the Bounty, which is another fun area for me to go into as well. And my grandmother was from Pitcairn Island, which is English Tahitian descent. So I learnt a lot. I was raised a lot by my grandmother. So I am still in the, discovery stages. But my biggest part is that I know a lot of is my Māori ancestry. And I learn a lot through growing up at school. It wasn't talked about as much with my parents. I learned through stories, and I learned a lot through social media and other people I meet. And I feel like I'm on a learning journey. And it's just a big experience for me, which opens me up to more. And it's really weird, Dee, when I discover things, that things just drop for me, and it's like, so that's why I'm like this. That's why I do that. That's why I look this way. Because growing up, I always got asked, are you Māori? Are you Cook Island? You know, and for myself, I identified as a Pitcairn Islander mainly because that's what I knew the most about growing up, my grandmother. So for me, it was a bit of an identity crisis growing up, you know, not feeling like I fit into here or there. So it's been an awesome journey for me so far, and full of lots of discoveries. And it's exciting for me, Deb, and I get to share this with my children now. And some of the things that I've learned from my Māori ancestry just wows me. And everything, you know, I find myself wanting to know more and diving deeper into our family lines all the way back. I spoke to my grandmother 2 weeks ago, and it was so nice to just have a conversation between her and I. And I got to ask her so many questions, and she's so knowledgeable. And she's even sending me a book over in the post, which I should get soon. This was in regards to the Ratana Church, which is a Māori church. So I felt pulled towards that about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I thought I'd give her a call and ask her about it, and I learned so much through that. So I'm still on a pathway of discovery and learning, and I'm really enjoying where I'm at the moment, Deb.
I love that. You know, that gets me so excited. And also it helps so much with honing ceremony and ritual, having an understanding of, you know, the different ancestry within your line, and, you know, learning more about it and finding that you have a long ancestral line connection to, you know, the Indigenous or First Nations, a First Nations tribe on the American continent. So that in itself is wonderful. And how great for you to share with your grandmother and for her to provide you with more knowledge, you know, the knowledge from our elders, and provide you with more knowledge and information. And I always think about this, what a beautiful time for you or for any of us to write down what we hear, you know, before the memory fades or before they are no longer with us. That just gets me so excited. And I'm really looking forward to finding out more of, you know, the evolution and transformation of the knowledge that you gain and how it imparts into your life and teaching and sharing with, you know, your relatives and with your children. So that's just wonderful. Can you fill in our listeners as to the work you are called to do in relation to connecting to your ancestors?
Yeah, sure. Okay, the work that I'm called to do is healing. Now, I never understood that growing up. I always felt a pull towards people. I suppose later on in adulthood, I learned that was empathic. Everyone says, oh, you're so empathic. But I didn't understand that word, didn't know what it was. I just knew I had a pull to want to help people. And it was really strange, Deb, because in my own life, I felt broken. So I couldn't understand why I could help other people so easily and make people feel good, and not so much myself. So I even questioned that pathway is, you know, how can I step into that space of being there and healing people when I'm having trouble, you know, with myself, you know, who I am, why am I here, purpose. There's so much that goes on. And everybody's head, I suppose, but my greatest call has been towards healing. I didn't know what that looked like. I thought it would be, you know, I love talking to people and feeling people's energy. I didn't know that was healing people's energy. If I vibed with people, I vibed with them, and I just really enjoyed that. So that in a form, you know, is healing itself as well, just by sitting with someone. Practices that I use has been mainly from social interaction within my family, within friendships, also my shamanic practices as well, Deb. That's helped me to hone in especially on separating the two so that I can become my own identity work on myself so that I can, everyone calls it fill your cup. You know, what does fill your cup look like? Fill your cup to me is to address all parts of yourself, not just the parts that feel good and, oh, yep, I feel great now. Fill your cup to me feels like our shadow self. And our shadow self is the parts that we do hide unknowingly and knowingly. And my shamanic practices helps me check in with myself daily, you know, and make sure that I'm in a good space to either, I'll either need time for myself or I can move on to working with others. And I've been so lucky working in with you, Deb, and at the workshops and with Lisa. I've been very lucky to be able to help attribute to people, whether it be talking with them again, whether it be listening to them, whether it be just sitting with them, you know, even playing my drums. We did a workshop, when was that, Deb, 2 weeks ago?
Yes, that's right.
2 weeks ago, and I had a drum. And I remember going to the back of the class and I just felt this pull stay here. I usually like to move around a room and I just have the same beat, that I feel within, and I just beat it on my drum. And this one person in the class, this person resonated with this, with the drum beat so strongly that they spoke about it at the end of the workshop. And it gave me a feeling of, okay, that's why I needed to stay at the back of the room at that spot, you know, because and a lot of it's intuitively led. I'm led intuitively. So it's all about trusting how I feel inside and responding to that. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to me, Deb. A lot of it doesn't make sense to me at the time. I just know that I'm doing something that's not of my own thinking. I'm being heart-led, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. So can you share with our listeners, would you say that you experienced a specific calling, or was it an idea or a belief that evolved over time about you stepping into doing more?
Yes, I did. I did. I have noticed from a very young age that I would talk to things, Deb. I never saw anything. I would just talk. I would just feel like I'm being spoken to, and I would talk. And later on, a few things that a window where I used to talk at my great grandmother's house was the same window that my mother's pa had died. He fell off a ladder. It's a bit sensitive to talk about. I didn't know that at the time. I was only young. But when everyone would go to sleep, I would get up and I would talk at the window, and I always felt comfortable. You know, there's been lots of situations there where also moving forward later on in my teenage years, where I would get up in the middle of the night and I would just cry. And I would cry and cry, and I never knew why. I would just get up crying. And I told my mum about it one day, and she said, "Are you all right?" And I would feel all right in the morning, but what I've come to notice, Deb, is a lot of those times when I got up crying, you know, the following day someone would pass away. And at the time I didn't know that was of any significance. Looking back at it now, I see so many signs. You know, I've had years, I think one time that probably really scared me was when I heard the words whakarongo, and that was when I was asleep at my grandmother's house. She got up to go toilet and I was asleep, and I just felt this really cold chill. Sorry if it triggers people listening, but all I heard was whakarongo. And I didn't know our language. And I told someone about it, said, "What does that mean?" Because I thought it was a swear word. Only to learn later on, growing up, that whakarongo means listen in our Māori language. So, yeah, if I look back at it now, Deb, there was lots of lots of times where I'd received messages, and whether it be guides, ancestors, have tried to reach out to me, and I never knew what it was. We hear a lot of stories. As kids, you grow up and you talk about things that you've experiences that you've had, and before you know it, you just become so excited about swapping stories. You don't stop for a second to think, oh, hang on, you know, am I meant for a greater purpose? Do you know what I mean? You don't think that as a young adult either. You just become content with swapping stories with everybody, but not really centering in on, you know, there's something quite significant happening here. So that's where I suppose I came to a point in my life, my adulthood, where things needed to change. You know my story, Deb. You know, I needed to make some changes in my late 30s, early 40s, and this led me on a path to following my shadow self, facing that side of myself in order to come to terms with why my life didn't feel fulfilled and feeling the pull towards where I need to go. And I can honestly say that it's been a most beautiful journey right now, and I still plan to head down that path of healing. And for me, I know it's hands-on for me, and I'm going to be following that pathway heading into April next year. I'm still learning our te reo Māori. So my first calling, Deb, was to learn our language. That's the pull that I felt last year. I need to go learn my language. And, you know, I need to work around the shame and embarrassment of that, of learning it at an adult. You know, going back to learn anything as an adult, you feel, well, for myself, I felt a bit of shame, like, oh, I should have listened in school. I should have gone to school and done these classes instead of taking it for granted. As an adult now, I'm excited to be in that space where I can call te reo Māori to other friends that I've met around Australia, New Zealand. And we've even got people in Italy, I think, learning our reo. So that's really exciting. So that's one step. And I'm also moving towards learning Romi Romi and Miri Miri, which I'll be learning under Gabrielle. You spoke with Gabrielle. You know Gabrielle Devi, such a beautiful woman. So I'm going to be learning under her. And I just feel like I'm always going to be a student, Deb. That sort of feels like, and it's a beautiful journey. And if I can help people along the way, you know, that fills my cup.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was just epic. We are always students, you know. I think for us to stay humble and know that we can always be taught and can always learn something new. And I just love that, you know, through you stepping into and learning more about your ancestors, that has opened up the portal or the gateway for you to learn more, to be guided into this space, to learn the language. To get, you know, deeper into the culture and the traditions and the rituals, and then now learning the healing modalities and whatever knowledge and wisdom is gained from that. And, you know, this is why we say how important it is to focus on a daily practice each day and connecting to your ancestors and finding out for you what your journey is. And it means then when spirit, your ancestors, your guides, know that the time is right for you that serves your higher self, these experiences will be presented to you. You will be guided into that space. You know, you will know intuitively, and I love that you mentioned that, you will know intuitively that this is the path for you. So I would like to ask you this question. Have you seen the results in your own life the more you acknowledge and step into this ancestral work?
Yes, Deb, definitely. The changes that I've seen in myself is, the biggest part is my heart's opened even more. I used to think that I already had an open heart, but it's a different feeling. It's it's almost like breaking the chains off, you know, the protective chains that I'd had around myself growing up, whether it be in this lifetime, past lifetimes. I just felt my heart expand even more. I feel like I can open up more, if that makes sense. And again, Dev, it's just the learning and experiencing new feelings. You know, each day is different for me. Each day is different. It's the constant evolving, if I can use that word. You know, I don't sit so much in the comfortable anymore. The uncomfortable feels not so much normal, but accepted, and I'm more aware of it, as opposed to, see, Deb, for a while, and I told you this last year, when I was going through some, you know, some issues, I thought that, okay, yep, I've evolved, that's it. You know, and then you reminded me that, Jazz, we're changing all the time. And that's the part I had to get used to. My wheels, I've got four wheels ahead, emotionally, you know, spiritually, physically, and all four wheels are going. So I'm constantly changing and adapting a lot better than what I used to. So that's how everything has helped me out, and that's how I see myself now. I'm a lot more adaptable to everything, whether it be in my spiritual practices and also in the present moments too, Deb. So, yeah, it's been great for me so far. I love it. I love the journey that I'm on, and I'm so grateful for it. I feel a lot more knowledgeable that I have so much history and ancestry and support in the spirit realm. It's going to sound funny to people, but it's just that inner knowing, you know, the innate knowing that you've got that support. I saw a real cool meme the other day, and it said, walk like you have 3,000 ancestors behind you. And I actually tried that at the shop, Deb, because sometimes being around a lot of people, my energy levels can, you know, shoot through the roof. And I was walking through the shop, and I felt like I was being carried, you know, not in a cocky way, not like that. I felt like my whole body just rise, my, you know, I straightened up my head, and I smiled, you know, and I smile normally, but my smile felt different. It feels like I was walking with 3,000 ancestors, you know. It was a real beautiful feeling. I loved it.
Wow, that's amazing, and so much visualization. I was imagining first your wagon with the four wheels, you know, in balance and moving forward constantly, and I love that. And then just the imagery of you being, you know, surrounded by the ancestors and them supporting you. Can you share with us, and also mainly for our listeners, you know, have there been times when on this journey that you are called to where it has been difficult?
Yeah, absolutely. I could almost honestly say that every step forward, I took 10 steps back. And again, that came to, it came down to understanding the experience, you know, having to, I'm more of a learner. I have to go through something to understand it. And I may have to go through it 5 or 10 times before it finally drops with me. You know, I have to feel it within. So that's what it's been like for me. And also self-doubt played a big part, because I'm stepping into this new version of me. You know, I don't know what this new version of me looks like, because I've been comfortable just being over here, you know, keeping myself small and serving others, because that's how I like to be, you know, in the background, unseen. And it's while I was doing that, I wasn't developing myself confidently, if that makes sense. So I struggled with self-doubt. I struggled with even the imposter syndrome sometimes, Deb. And a lot of this was of my own thing. So again, going back to working on my shadow self, working on the parts of me that were keeping me, how can I put this, protected, not seen. Because sometimes I used to be ashamed that if I was seen, you know, I could be misunderstood or, you know, taken as cocky or, you know, ego. Ego played a big part. Even though I'm not a highly, you know, egoic person, I just worried about what other people thought. And then I just had to really nut out and do my practices to a daily practice, Deb, and really, you know, work on that muscle memory of myself, that I'm changing, I'm evolving, I'm not who I used to be. I'm evolving into this new version of me. And to, you know, this new version of me, I had to instill myself from my inner child. I had to instill my confidence. I had to instill my own self-healing, sending self-love to myself, you know, however that looked, you know, whether I take myself out in nature, whether I sit at the beach, whether I share a conversation with my husband or my children, you know, whether I sit down and read a book, take myself shopping. I love shopping. You know, I looked at all those sort of things as new parts of self, you know. I'm shopping for myself, you know, doing this for myself. So I had to do a lot of my self-work so to push through those boundaries of my past self, Deb, to get to where I am today. And it changes all the time according to, you know, where I'm at in life, what the situations and experiences that I'm having now. It changes. And I see the growth. And I also see growth by the way I talk, by how I open up to people now. You know, talking to my grandmother the other week. These are things that I most likely, you know, I never did much of them, to be honest with you. You know, some things, if they weren't spoken about in our whānau groups, we didn't talk about them. You know, and I couldn't, you know, in my past self, I would have been like, oh, I'm not going to go ask questions. That's just silly. You know, number one, the shame. Number two, they'll think, you know, where is she coming from? So I've worked through a lot of shit, Deb, to get where I am. You'll have to excuse my language, but that's what it feels like. And I look back at it with so much love and gratitude now. You know, that's the way I feel. I don't, you know, I call it shit, but at the same time, it's good shit. I needed to go through these lessons, Deb. I think I mentioned to you a few weeks ago about I was driving in my car and I got this message, you had to go through what you had to go through, Jazz, to be able to help people. And I thought, are you telling me that my experiences, you know, were justified? And, you know, I even questioned that, Deb. But when I sat down and I thought about that message, I thought to myself, you know, it's right. How could I understand the suffering of others if I too didn't understand my own suffering and go through it? So, that's a lot, Deb. Hope that was answers a few things.
Yes, I absolutely love it because you can see like the evolution of the belief in self, you know, the growth and understanding that I needed to go through those lessons so they could present these opportunities now. You know, I need to experience what I experience so I can resonate with people who have been on a similar journey. And being open to spirit to guide you in whichever way that serves your higher self is just, you know, a great exercise or a great lesson in itself. But just hearing how you speak about certain instances, and you even mentioned the words that you use and the questions that you asked of your family, you can see how there's been that massive growth in self. And another thing that kept dropping in for me was stepping into your power. You know, we talk about primal warrior woman, but actually stepping in and owning it and saying, look, actually, I wear that mantle because that is part of who I am, not only as a woman, but as part of my ancestry and my heritage. And I'm owning it. And I love that you mentioned about the shame and the blame and the ego. You know, this is what holds us back from stepping into our power. This is what holds us back from taking ownership for whatever our journey is. And the more of us that take ownership of that and step into it, the more we can do, not only in our own lives, but to help others. So thank you so much for sharing all that information. That was just so epic. And I know when I listen to this again, I'm just going to, you know, gain so much wisdom from it. So thank you, Jazzy, for taking Well, thank you for taking the time to share your journey, your story, you know, what you're stepping into, but also sharing some of those very private moments in relation to your family. I know culturally sometimes we cannot talk or discuss certain things, so thank you for sharing what you were able to in this discussion. And thank you, listeners. You know, what I am getting from this discussion with Jasmine is that, you know, don't hold yourself back. You all have the gift. You all have the opportunity to step in. You know, if spirit is calling you, if your ancestors are calling you to step in, and whether it's healing, whether it's coaching, whether it's mentoring, but to help people, you know, firstly, the first thing is gain knowledge, have a daily practice connecting into your spirit guides and your ancestors, and step in and own it. Step out of that box and say, yes, I am stepping into my power. So thank you everyone for listening today, and namaste and blessings.